Gopijana Bala Bhagavi Varadari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Bala Bhagavara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Divim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This is Canto 5, Chapter 8, Text Number 15. Anyada Bresham Udvigna Mana Nastadravina Eva Kripana Shankarunam Atitarshena Harina Kunaka Viraha Vibala Hridaya Santapa Tam Eva Anushochan Kila Kashmalam Mahat Abhirambita Itiha Uvacha. Maharaj Bharata sometimes could not see the deer. His mind would become, would become very agitated. He would become like a miser who, having obtained some riches, had lost them and had then become very unhappy. When the deer was gone, he would be filled with anxiety and would lament due to separation. Then he would become illusioned and speak as follows. Purport. If a poor man loses some money or gold, he at once becomes very agitated. Similarly, the mind of Maharaj Bharata would become agitated when he did not see the deer. This is an example of how our attachment can be transferred. If our attachment is transferred to the Lord's service, we progress. So Rupa Goswami prayed to the Lord that he would be as naturally attracted to the Lord's service as young men and young women are naturally attracted to each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited such attachment the Lord when he jumped into the ocean or cried at night in separation. However, if our attachment is diverted to material things instead of the Lord, we will fall down on the spiritual platform. Api bhati savai kripana ena balako mritya harine suto ho mama naryasya sakshata kirat mater akrita sukritasya krita vishramba atma Pratyayena taraviganayan sujana ivagamisyati. He would think, alas, the deer is now helpless, and I am very unfortunate. And my mind is like a cunning hunter, for it is always filled with cheating propensities and cruelty. The deer has put its faith in me, just as a good man who has a natural interest in good behavior forgets the misbehavior of a cunning friend and puts his faith in him. Although I have proved faithless, will this deer return and place his faith in me? Alas, is it possible that I shall again see this animal protected by the Lord and fearless of tigers and other animals? Shall I again see him wandering in the garden, eating soft grass? I do not know, but the deer might have been eaten by a wolf or a dog, or by the boars that flock together, or the tigers who travel alone. Alas, when the sun rises, all auspicious things begin. Unfortunately, they have not begun for me. The sun god is the Vedas personified, but I am bereft of all Vedic principles. The sun god is now setting, yet the poor animal who trusts in me, since his mother died, has not returned. That deer is exactly like a prince. When will it return? When will it again display its personal activities, which are so pleasing? When will it again pacify a wounded heart like mine? Certainly I must have no pious assets, otherwise the deer would have returned by now. Alas, the small deer, while playing with me and seeing me feigning meditation with closed eyes, would circumambulate me due to anger arising from love, and would fearfully touch me with the points of his soft horns, which felt like drops of water. When I placed all the sacrificial ingredients on the kusha grass, the deer, when playing, would touch the grass with his teeth and thus pollute it. When I chastised the deer by pushing it away, he would immediately become fearful and sit down motionlessly, exactly like the son of a saintly person. Thus it would stop playing. So, this is Maharaj Bharata's meditation. It goes on for about, how many? Quite a few verses more here. So back to the published purport here. Text number 15. If Maharaj Bharata could not see the deer, his mind would become agitated. He would become like a miser who, having obtained some riches, had lost them and had become very unhappy. When the deer was gone, he would become filled with anxiety and with lament and separation. Thus he would become illusioned and speak as follows. So the Prabhupada talks about a poor man. If he loses his gold, he becomes very agitated. So the whole thing is a matter of attachment, like that. What is it? Kapila Dev says, every learned man knows that attachment for the material is the greatest cause of lamentation. The same attachment, when applied to the self-realized soul, the sadhu, is a source of liberation. Yeah. So Prabhupada also says, consciousness is the platform of attachment. And you can't not be attached to something. Right? So if Krishna is, kind, we can be attached to him. Right? But if he wants to, if he's being offended by us, like Vidura tried to inspire Dhritarashtra to be attached to Krishna, but because he'd been offensive to the Pandavas, Krishna wouldn't let him be attached to him. Right? He was able to become Dhira, right? Attached, but he wasn't able to become attached to Krishna because he'd been offensive. And so, Bharata, I guess he's being offensive or something. not a lot of details here. But basically, Prabhupada's making this point that we can become attached to Krishna. And he gives the example of Lord Chaitanya when he jumped into the ocean. What is that? That example. What pastime is that? When he jumped in the ocean. But why did he jump in the ocean? Yeah, he thought it was a Jamuna. He was looking at him. I think it was a Jamuna. And there was one big sand dune there he would look at as Govardhan. Had a certain name like that. So it's very attached. Right? You just see something like even half of your mind you of something and you're crazy. Jumping in the ocean. But also too, it's Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, right? Sadya Kabunaya, Shravanadi, Shurechita, Karadigdaya. So let's say that this ecstatic consciousness is our normal consciousness. Yeah? Maybe you become a little attached to Krishna, but that means there must be some kind of attachment to Maya still or something, Because our natural consciousness is to be ecstatic like that, right? Just attracted to something, money, opposite sex, food, you know, something. You know. To be dull is not our normal consciousness. So either, you know, we're attracted to Krishna means that we should be ecstatic like that. And Lord Chaitanya is expressing, you know, especially in this mood of conjugal, which is the material world or spiritual world. The gopis have no desire to enjoy sense gratification with Krishna. They want to enjoy Krishna in this intensity of service. You know, Krishna enjoys these things. You know, so that's why we dress ourselves, play music, sing, you know, all these kind of things, because Krishna enjoys it. You know? So their enjoyment, their attachment is conjugal in the sense that they're attached to serving Krishna. You know, is that intense, right? Yeah. But the material world is, you know, towards sense gratification. The opposite sex. You become, you can't breathe, you can't think about anything else, you're having nightmares at night, your heart is beating, you know. Romeo, Juliet, right? Yeah? No. Remember this? No. No, Prabhupada asked one girl on a Sunday feast, he said, who do you love more, Krishna or your husband? And she said she was embarrassed because she didn't love either one. like that. Yeah, so on, you know. Yeah. But this, you know, this is, you know, spiritual consciousness, intense like that. Yeah. So any comments? The general point here is that, you know, Mars Bart is showing us this point of somebody who thinks I'm everybody's best friend, like that. You know. I will save everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Unless he's going to go out crazy and just fall into a hole in the middle of the night, right? Yeah, to save this deer. Yeah.
Sometimes it seems that, again, I'm not sure about the exact circumstances of why Krishna has put this attachment.
Yeah.
It seems like Krishna puts one in very kind of difficult or unavoidable circumstances, and almost somehow, or maybe Maya almost sets a person up to kind of fall down in that way, or to start thinking that one's kind of all the way in.
Mm-hmm.
That the circumstances become more and more difficult, and
yeah.
You go through it feeling that you have no choice in matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does Krishna actually do that, or is it he's giving a difficult, what seems like a difficult circumstance, just to encourage us to
become fully. I think in the beginning, different people in different situations, you know, and sometimes, for example, personal experience which matches the Shastra, I was the pujari in a little temple in San Francisco on Carl Street. It's a small place. You know. At noontime. So I did, you know, somebody cooked a nice offering and I came and I offered it all. And I was kind of saw it and stuff. It was, you know, very, very beautiful, and I was trying to control my mind, not thinking about enjoying this, whatever. But I was realizing, boy, after the offering is over, I'm going to be so, you know, attracted to eating all this stuff. And so then I was really trying to do everything I knew about yoga, about to offer to Krishna, and, you know, sincerity and all this kind of stuff, my mind, different perspectives. Then afterwards, I have all these different techniques for controlling my mind, you know, and prasadam and everything else. I tried my very best, but still, you know, I ate too much prasadam. You know? But then I noticed that I didn't suffer. My body suffered, but I didn't suffer. And there was this reaction of acid indigestion and all that kind of stuff. But it was just, I wasn't identifying with it. You know? And so it was kind of good. That's my karma. I had some reaction like that. You know? And so, and Krishna realized, yeah, it was just your body. It wasn't you. You know, so you're not responsible for this. You know? And so then, you know, maybe next time my body will know better. You know, it'll become more purified like that. Or maybe it won't. Maybe I'll just die right after that. You know, like that. You know? So, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma, remember, he says that it's two things are going on simultaneously. One is your karma, and the other is your dedication to truth, which is, you know, devotional service. You know? So, okay, you have different reactions. You become a deer, you become man, woman, rich, poor, you know, different things. And sometimes it's just your karma. You can't stop breathing or something. You know? So, okay. So the Christian doesn't take that very seriously. You know, and we see, I'm being forced to go through this like that. My karma. And Krishna will, you know, will, whatever. Krishna will figure out how it's useful or something like that. You know. So I tried my best. Okay. Other thing is that, you know, Krishna sees that we're, you know, we're kind of halfway. It was a famous story in, what's the one? Last book of the Bible. Mr. International Religions. What's the last book of the Bible? Remember that? It's John. But those are the evangelicals. Those are the gospels. But this one is the revelation of John. It's a different one like that. Yeah. Revelations, revelation of John. So this angel comes to the guy and says, "You used to be a great devotee, you know, but now you're not a great devotee. You're not even a great demon. You are lukewarm, like the spew from my mouth." The Bible has this way of putting things like that, kind of like this is like drool coming out. This is your consciousness now. It's not, you know. So Bengi is basically saying that you're not going to be a great devotee, but at least be a great demon. Just don't marginalize God, right? Either hate him or love him, but don't just kind of marginalize him something to complete, like, you know, uselessness. You know, so Krishna sees that we're just kind of getting into this marginal existence of being a devotee, hari bo, hari bo, hari bo, hari bo, you know, and going on like that. So then he starts, you know, giving us this stimulation, which stimulates our real potential. We have this potential to be a great devotee, right? You know, and so he starts giving us, okay, this guy's, you know, and the next thing from him is hari bo, hari bo, is this, you know, is this falls in Maya again, because his potential's there, you know, and if I don't do this, Maya will, you know. So then he starts giving us more and more intense agitation. Yeah. What's all of it is sex desire. You know, of course, again, sex desire can be gross or subtle, and subtle is even harder, and that is that I'm the best friend. You know, that's why Adam fell down, because he wanted to save Eve. Because he wasn't confused by her with the apple. I knew this was wrong. But he was thinking, oh my God, now she's got to go out and work hard and get a job at McDonald's and, you know, pay the rent. You know, she'll be all alone. Well, I have to help her. You know, I'll eat the apple so that I also will fall down to protect her. So it was the same thing. People think it was because he was like lusty and confused. No, it wasn't that. You know? So this is the most difficult thing. It's not, I think, you know, I'm not anybody. We are. As representatives of Krishna, as part and parcel of Krishna, the free will, we have our free will, have our position, and, you know, we have to do that. You know? But where does it start? Where does it stop? You know? You know, it's okay, this is... This, you know, I figured it out. This is where I'm supposed to go, and after this, then Krishna's supposed to take over. You know, so let me get my job, work on my job, like that, improve it. You know, and let Krishna work on his job. You know, so it's a big deal, and figuring out how much you're supposed to do and stuff. And of course, you know, everything is what is blissful. You know, and it becomes what's natural at that point. You know, we become so attached to doing our job, and we try to do more, then we get like, you know, just depressed. You know, and, you know, I'm a temple president. I'm the temple president. It's my temple, and I'm the enjoyer. I'm the president. No, it's not that. But I have to take care of all these congregation members, and unless I, you know, work myself to death cooking for Sunday feast, they won't come, and they'll all fall in Maya. They'll stay home and eat this and that. And I'm everybody's best friend. So same, yeah, whatever you want to look at, you can find something. You know, my poor husband, you stupid fool, I gotta take care of him. He's becoming so mental about everything, and I gotta make sure he wears clean socks and that. Versus just to eat, you know. Baboo, baboo. Your briefcase, you know. No, but it's a fact, you know, the wife has to take care of her husband, you know. Just, you know. And so she has different potencies. I have a famous story called A Season in Hell. Psychology is a famous book. And this guy was going into chronic depression, you know, but nobody really knew what it was that much at that time. And it wasn't just like you're feeling bad, he was describing, he was just going day after day, and it was just like, you know, getting worse until finally he just couldn't handle it. That maybe 3 or 4 months of this chronic depression, you know. See, that all worked out. He was going to kill himself, but he was going to, like, you know, do it in such a fashion it would look like an accident, so his wife could collect the money for the insurance policy. He arranged for her to go visit her sister and stuff, you know. So the night before she was going to go, he just broke down, started crying, you know. And his wife didn't know what was going on. They were lying in bed together, but she was just like, you know, just holding on to him, and he was like a child, you know, and stuff. And he couldn't even communicate, you know, and stuff. So, but she just, like, he wanted to get out of bed. She's hanging on. He said, no, just stay here. It's okay, you know, it's okay. So finally, after about 3 hours of that, he finally, you know, got this point of just expressing this stuff, at least, you know. And then he started telling what was happening, everything else like that and stuff, you know. So it was just, you know, a feminine emotional response. You know, less intelligent woman responding to the situation emotionally, like she's supposed to do, you know, like that. And that saved his life. You know? And after that, he started to go see a doctor or something. The doctor didn't know what was going on, so he then contacted a higher authority and came to a psychiatrist, psychologist. They said, well, yeah, chronic depression. And so then he started doing stuff, and he cured it, you know, like that. So he wrote the book, you know, Seasons in Hell. You know. Because at that point it wasn't well known. It was some preliminary investigation. This book made it popular and probably saved a lot of people's lives. You know. So again, everybody has their particular nature, ability, you know, as a woman, as a wife, as a husband, as a temple president, as a, you know, whatever it is, you know, as a water god. I must work extra hours to solve this problem for the people of Idaho. Unless I do this, when I drive around, people will salute me and say, Mr. Goyle, thank you for saving that extra 250,000 square feet of water by doing this. Yeah. Paper like that, right? Everybody has their position. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, in my experience, sometimes it's just your karma and you're forced, you know, to act friendly, to act, help people and stuff like that. You just can't control yourself, you know. Okay, you try your best, you know, to try and be detached, see what's going on, not do this, not do that, but okay, you know. But then Krishna sees you're trying your best, and so whatever reaction is there, you know. And usually it's not going to make you fall down from the regular principles, that's the kind of thing, maybe some other reaction. But other than that, maybe sometimes it is like Krishna is, like, you know, putting in a position where, you know, who is you? Who is the best friend, you know? Who is the enjoyer of these things, you know? But after the whole thing is, you try and working to take care of your associates and people like that. But after the whole thing is over, nobody pays you much attention. But they say, wow, Krishna was so kind to us, and Krishna did that, and Krishna did that, and so forth. You feel, you know. I was in a temple in Berkeley. It was a catastrophe. God, it was after Hansadutta left. Our Zonal Acharya had fallen down. You know, there was a big turmoil on what's going to happen, the end of the temple. And then there was, the devotees, Trey Rishi was our new GBC secretary, and he left with Tadikshiva Karunika to go to Mayapur to try and canvass for more support for the temple like that, you know. So I was there alone with Purnima Chandra, one devotee, and with the Mahabhagavat, three of us, you know. So he was doing the administration, I was doing, kind of keeping the whole thing organized together, a general thing, and preaching to the devotees and doing a lot of, you know, deity worship like that and stuff, and preaching, and she was collecting money, you know. So basically the three of us were like kind of maintaining it. And there might be a few more devotees, you know. Then this flood came. It was this monsoon. It was probably the biggest that ever happened in Northern California. And certain counties were declared disaster areas. And water was coming through the roof of the building like unbelievable, you know. And so, for example, one morning, I would wake up. It was just by myself there. So my alarm clock would go off, and I would, you know, try and wake up. Couldn't get up. My alarm clock would go off again. So finally, it was like I would just, you know, maybe 3 minutes before I wake the deities up. So I would just run into the shower. I would brush my teeth while I was taking a shower. And I run across, there was nobody there, so I run across the temple room, still wet. Like, yeah, like the pujari room, all across the temple room there. Run into the pujari room, I ring the door, wake up the bell on time like that, and I would go back and just dry myself off, put on my clothes, and go on the altar, you know. Boy, say, woke the deities up on time, like that, you know. It was, you know, you kind of, just struggling, you know. Then I would, you know, I'd make the offering, you know, ring the bell, open the doors, and there was nobody there, you know. So I just did the whole Mangala Arati, you know. And then finally, by the end of the Mangala Arati, you know, Skanda would show up, and a couple of the people, maybe two of the pujaris or something, you know. So close the doors, okay, now I got myself, two pujaris, I go downstairs, the door's locked, I find the key, get it opened up, open the door, and there's this much water in the basement like that, and there's nothing below that. And so all the pujaris are about to, you know, freak out and run back and hide and go to bed and make some excuse or something, you know. My army is about to bolt and run away, panic, you know. So I say, oh, it's just like the river Jamuna. And so I pull my dhoti up and walk into the water and go across and get Lord Jagannath stuff off the rack. I wonder, why is, what's happened, you know. And go back up and they go, oh, Jamuna, okay. So I dress the deities going in and out of this water. And then finally, after that, I go and just figure out what's going on. I knew there was a sump pump in the corner of the room in the back that was supposed to, like, take this water out, you know, because it's below the level of the you know, the earth, you know. So it's like if the water table rises up, you know, it goes in and there's a pump, you know. So I go over there, there's a pump, look inside, what is it? There's, you know, pull this out, and there's a dead rat, you know. I fell into the sump pump thing and got stuck, you know. So you know, pull this dead rat out, you know. And then I hear this thing, starts crawling after it. 3 hours, the water's gone like that, you know. So anyway, But I went through all this, you know. And I knew that, you know, because of this, my position in the whole thing was going up. You know, I was going to become everybody's dearmost friend. The GBC, the GBC secretary, the devotees, the rats who give a proper funeral to their children, you know. They're the rat, you know. So I could see, I'm going to become like, you know, oh, Hanuman Swami, he's like this and that and everything else, you know. But I was thinking, God, that's not, you know, it's not what I want, you know. And also that was a time when, of course, everybody was having the opportunity to become guru because, you know, the zonal gurus were falling down. His audience, why, you should become a guru, you know, this and that, you know. So, you know, Krishna's telling you, right? So at that point, Lokanath said, our puppet program, he said, wow, we're going to go traveling, this and that, you want to come with us? And I said, yeah. Let me get out of the scene, not be a prominent person. No, you must stay, this and that, calls from India, you must stay. And I said, well, no, I'm going to go, I'll be on touch on the phone. If a little catastrophe happens, I come back, you'll be here, you can handle it, you know. So I got out, and then people did respond, they did handle it, they did do things. And it came, I said, all I want is this, you know, Jagannath, all I want is that you, you know, you remember me, you're thankful, you know, whatever, like, appreciate me, give me some more service or something, you know. And so it came back. And then it was adjusted, and I wasn't, oh, you're back, it's good you're back. You know, it wasn't like, you know. But, you know, I had the choice of, you know, like that. So Krishna gives you choices, this is what you want. It keeps getting more intense, because, you know, we have that intensity. You know? If we don't use it for Krishna, it's it. We use it for something else. So sometimes, Kirtananda said, every year the hardest thing is just remaining celibate year after year. You know, because Krishna keeps, you know, I think, oh, my sex desire will decrease. You know, actually it increases. Actually become a devotee. But it increases in subtle ways, of course. You know. You know, first it's subtle. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, whenever you see good food and good drink, you should think, this is the beginning of all my problems. Like that. Oh, what nice prasad. Oh, it's the beginning of all my problems. Let me just take what I need, you know, properly, and, you know, for my service. And maybe taste the opulences of Krishna to see how people are cooking for him, what they're doing for him, and, you know, experience, like, how, you know, this is not very nice. And, well, this is very, wow, this is nice. And that way we're, you know, experiencing, you know, how Krishna's being served like that. But beyond that, it's a matter of just taking prasadam. You know, maybe to calm down our lust, you know. And it's not me, it's my body. My body needs this to, you know, so it won't go crazy, okay, you know. And then beyond that, what do I need for health, you know, to work? Otherwise, it starts to become like, you know, for the subtle things. First off, it's a subtle thing that I'm being honored by giving a special plate. And, you know, Prabhupada said in India, the people, the neighbors used to invite each other for meals. They would cook like so many things like that, you know. They would come over at a certain time, they give them Madhu Parka and, you know, reception and everything else. And very nice. They would sit and they'd look at this big feast and maybe 40 preparations. And they'd say, oh, you cook so many things and that. They would go to their plate and just take a little bit. He said, and the people who enjoyed it were the servants. And that was it. They were the servants, but they were enjoying, you know, a different kind. They were enjoying the gross sense gratification. Whereas the masters were just enjoying this honor, respect, affection, just by display like that. You know? So that's the beginning. You know? And every year it gets more and more, is that, you know, as you get, you know, I'm a guru, I'm a respected guru. I have disciples. I have 800 disciples. My disciples are this, this, and this. You know, I think that. You know, oh, yes. You know. You see, it's, you know, the Christian tradition, if you're sincere, you're reading, chanting, everything else, discussing, then you'll see, like, you know, how it's coming in, and you'll be able just to go up and get, you know, get rid of this, get rid of this. You know, Krishna will give you, like, you know, mantras. And in Vrindavan, Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham Japahari Krishna Hari Ram. You know where this is from? Bolo Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham Japa Hare Krishna Hari Ram. This is from the people near Siddhabakula. They, you know, this guy was preaching, you should only do Maha Mantra's Jap. And he tried to spread it. He spread it all over Orissa. And finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur convinced him it was wrong. You know, you can chant Maha Mantra's Kirtan. And he died in great anxiety, apparently, because he spread this whole bogus idea, you know, like that. You know, not bogus, but it's Rasa Bas. It's like not proper mixture. You know. And so anyway, the idea is, it is Bolo, Nitai Gaur, Radhe Sham, Japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And they chant this. You know, Bolo, Nitai Gaur, Radhe Sham, Japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And their ashram is right behind our temple. If you come out of the gate next to the Krishna Balaram guest house and turn right, then the ashram on your left is their ashram, and the temple around the corner is their temple. It's Arisa, Ariyababa Mandir. That's the Brij Bhashis call it. Ariyababa Mandir, Angrezi Baba Mandir. Brij Bhashis, you know. They integrate everybody. You know. So they were chanting this, and it was really melodious for some time. So all the devotees in the temple started chanting it too, because it was like so melodious, you know. And they couldn't control their minds. So Prabhupada started hearing this, and he said, they say, Bolo Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham, Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram. We say, Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham, Jaya Krishna Balaram. And that was the deities, you know. So that we replaced that, then devotees could say that and stuff. And so Krishna will give you like one phrase or something which will allow you to fix your mind and go through this attachment, see it for what it is, you know. Somebody's attached to smoking. Can't give it up, you know. It becomes a devotee, doesn't want to do it. Okay, I'm just going to chant Hare Krishna. That's, of course, the suspicion. While I'm smoking, while I'm enjoying my tobacco, and why after I'm coming down. Okay, so it goes through it one time, orienting himself, seeing what's going on, gives it up. You know? 18 years of smoking. Yeah? Because you go through it. Yeah? So sometimes you chant Hare Krishna. Like if you're an artist and there's no real art engagement, yeah. You're feeling difficulty, you know. I think generally speaking, in Krishna's those we need. Mm-hmm. So kind of like if we're starting to invent service, and especially if there's other stuff we could do, which you can do, then probably it's because he's trying to wean us, you know, from our attachment to something. We're just maybe too attached. To think that way, at least, you know, and then we become, you know, I mean, probably karma yoga is when you can't do it, you become angry, you know, at people. Right? See, it's that because I can't do my service, you know, what I enjoy doing, right? You have attachment. You know? There's rats in there, some rats. And so that's one problem. Maybe too. Then, you know, we have to put. Not seeing what Krishna's arranging, you know. And we got to push ahead and maybe just, you know, start some project because we like it, you know. And one devotee, Ishan, he said, Prabhupada, what do you want me to do? What service can I do for you? And Prabhupada said, what do you want to do? I said, what do you want me to do, Prabhupada? No, what do you want to do? Whatever you want me to do, Prabhupada, what do you want to do? And he's thinking, well, so I've always been noticing that devotees always break the mridangas, you know. You know, because they're made out of clay in those days. They just keep breaking them. Like, so I was thinking, why not make a fiberglass mridanga? You know? And so he's the first person who designed and figured out all the techniques and everything else and made these Balaram mridangas like that. You know? Yeah. But, you know, but he's always thinking, you know, in the back of his mind that really, you know, he probably saw that I wasn't surrendered, I had some attachments. So he was saying in the end, what do you want to do? You know, we'll do that. You know, so sometimes this is what's happening. We're attached, and Krishna doesn't want us to do it, you know, because it's just for our using that for, it's partly for our sense gratification, because our senses like to do this, you know, and it's also for mental gratification, because the mind likes to do this, you know, and it's not for Krishna. You know, we're not making any progress, so to speak, and maybe even becoming materially, you know, it's going to lead to something else, you know. I mean, I know one devotee, he's an artist, he's good. But he started noticing that within the art community in Peru, there's a lot of homosexuals, you know. And some of them started, older artists, men, started like becoming affectionate to him. And he knew their reputation, they were homosexual, you know. And he could see it was just like, in the beginning, maybe it was just like some kind of natural thing or something that's kind of happening. And he could see it very easily could have led into some, you know, homosexual relationship with him as a younger guy, an older guy. And so then he was... Even though he liked the art and stuff, and you know, he was know, this is not good for me. You know, see, they went to something else like that and stuff. So, usually I think the whole thing is that, you know, again, it was like, you know, said Berkeley, I experienced that. It was like hellish things happening, you know. I think a lot of it too was, I mean, it was the same time. And, you know, so different options of what I could do, you know. And then someone told me, probably Krishna speaking, Prabhupada said, don't leave, don't deviate. Right? Just do your service, like that. You know? And what is your service? Why, this I know is service. It's kind of usually it's something that's kind of general. I know I should do this. It's, maybe it's not, you know, so refined, but it's, I know this is service. This is, you know, okay. You know, okay, so staying in the temple at that time and taking care of things, and okay, you know. And then it's all these options, you know. And after a while, what happens is that one of them, you know, is like, okay. It's like, you have no choice. This is, you know, this is, everybody's telling me and everything else, my mind, this is what, you know. So it becomes obvious then what the improvement is. That the best way to improve your service is to engage in service. The best way to get knowledge is to engage in service. Right? About your service. You know. Well, what's my service? Yeah, you know. It's, you know, chant Hare Krishna. And also then if I, again, basically speaking, if I don't know what to do, chant Hare Krishna. How much? All 24 hours a day until you, you know, my voice, my throat's sore. Chant in your mind. You know? And then that's the mercy in Kali Yuga, is you always can chant. Huh? Yeah, yeah. And then after that, if, you know, if it's probably, you know, it's just crying for Krishna, you know, then Krishna will reveal, you know, what else you should do. You know? That's my experience too, it does. You just sit down and chant. You know, and then, okay. And sometimes too, I came back from India one time, and I wasn't satisfied with the Bhaktivedanta Institute program. I thought it was like, it wasn't pure devotional service, and none of the temples I knew were, you know, I don't know, Boise Temple, I don't know, were fired up. I just, all of them that would have been like going, participating in any of these programs, my motivation would have been like material. If I work with this program, I'll have a place to stay, I'll have food and all this kind of stuff. I just didn't want to, you know, do or engage for that purpose. I couldn't see any other aspect to these programs other than that, you know. So I was staying with Sankar Shastri in New York City, and, you know, what am I going to do? And chanting and chanting, you know. And I was saying, no, I'm not going to deviate. If I have to walk outside in the middle of winter in the snow and find some, you know, handball backboard in an abandoned school playground, I'll just sit down behind it and freeze to death. They'll find me in the springtime there, you know, rotten, you know. I was at, and if I die, I'm not going to. It's better to die than, you know, than just engage in, you know, devotional service for eating and sleeping, you know. So the trim, you know. And after some time, what happened was that I investigated, I came to this conclusion, okay, I don't have any, like, you know, grand plan for pure devotional for service to Krishna, but this is the best option, and it's headed the right direction, like that, okay. And so it's, eating and sleeping is involved, but that's not really my real motive and stuff. Okay, so then that was when I took off for Peru then, the second time, and that was like, you know, the right direction, you know. So we may not know, you know, this is where I'm going. I know I'm going up, you know. Yeah, you know, it's like, enough, you know, sometimes. Other times, yeah, you get far out vision, you know, something really great. You know. Nobody has illustrated, I'm going to illustrate all of Prabhupada's room conversations or lectures. I'm going to start taking Prabhupada's lectures and illustrating all the lectures like that. You know. Wow. And Hanuman, Krishna talked to me through Hanuman Swami. He comes like that. Somebody says something and you know, the Krishna doesn't say that. Big voice doesn't come out of the sky like that. Krishna, you know, what do you want? Yeah. It's you again, huh? Yeah. Well, since I usually through devotees or something like that, somebody says something, it's just, you know. So there it is. You can illustrate all Prabhupada's lectures. And Prabhupada's talking about things, you know. That, you know. Anyway. But you see, then what happened? You just test it out with other devotees. And what do you think about this? And Prabhupada's books and sincere prayer. Japa, devotees, and Prabhupada's books. Yeah. Okay? Okay. Final. Don't become attached to deer. It's water snakes. I have to save all the water snakes. Where are we here? Oh, yeah. Yeah, talk about attachment thing. So, okay? Yeah, final question. Oh, yeah. Okay, now anybody has any comments or topics about anything? Codicy, because today we're going to be here tonight, the light program tonight. And tomorrow the flight's at 7 o'clock, so I guess we're going to be here by 6 o'clock. Actually, maybe 7:30, I guess. And then we're going to be there by 6:30. But if we leave, we're going to be there by 6:30. I think it was 7 o'clock. Anyway, we should leave like an hour and a half. Yeah, we should leave an hour and a half before, right? 30 minutes to get there. Okay. And I just think it's the last time we did this, I ended up waiting 5 hours. It wasn't you. I mean, this is in Barcelona, Madrid. No. And they checked me and said, the flight's closed. It's because of the regulations. We can't open it up. 50 euros more, change it in a 5 hour wait, you know? But anyway. You know. Huh? Yeah. That's me. I asked the devotees, they were real sure. Oh, it might be the airport, isn't it? You know, I'm going to fly Barcelona. Anyway, okay, so. Yeah. But I don't know. You said that, for example, the thing is the rules and regulations. They say that the time in advance is not for the passengers, for security, it's for the luggage. Because they have to have time to put the luggage through. Security thing, you know. So again, you know, maybe they're, you know, yeah, I don't know, maybe they have to do a lot of boxes or shipping that time in the morning. Oh, you know, your luggage going, we'll make it through time, you know. Your luggage will arrive tomorrow. but anyway, I'll just check. But it's okay, so 1 hour and 5 minutes before we leave before like that. I'll check and see what time it is, confirm it. You can give them a call because they can see if they change those things. Well, your flight's been doing. Well, it's Frontier. Yeah. Not SWA. Not Southwest, no.
Well, you're not making Southwest?
No.
Yeah.
But there shouldn't be any delay. I can go. Yeah. I'll just go over. Actually, it's too late now. It's already annoying. I'm in the B group. I was thinking about doing one thing. Because you already have a seat reservation in Frontier. Anyway, I'll just check in online, make sure it's okay. And then I got some cream cheese yesterday. 3 ounces of cream cheese. You know, put that in your thing. Maybe look at it. You know, kind of squeeze it. You know. Well, actually, there's gore gum in the gore gum in the cream cheese. Yeah. You had your question.